Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, May 22nd. Welcome to the show. We have a lot to discuss tonight, but I just want to remind everybody that the call-in number for tonight's show, if you want to ask a question or comment, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Our guest tonight is Danessa Myricks. I see the phone lines lighting up already. That's good. Our guest tonight is Danessa Myricks. And before we speak with Danessa, Denise has some beauty news for us.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Am I on?
Yeah, but you're very low. I can't hardly hear you.
Okay. How about now?
Still a little low, but just go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just a little low, but I can hear you.
Okay. Do you want me to wait until the end of the show for the news, and then I can make sure?
No,
I
can you can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Okay. Just very quickly, just wanted to remind everyone I've been giving you all this news all along now for the past month, so just reminding everyone of Premier Orlando, which is coinciding with Premier Day Spa at the Orlando Convention Center, coming up on June 4th and 5th. And also, if you live in the Atlanta area or plan to come in town, the Makeup Show Pop-Up Shop is coming to Atlanta June 18th and 19th. Again, it's June 18th and 19th. At Makeup Show Atlanta pop-up shop is coming. And last but not least, we have IMAX London. For those of you who are attending IMAX London, that's on June 3rd with the Crow Show and June 4th and 5th, open to the general public at the Olympia Center in London, England. And again, for those of you who may be beauty bloggers, makeup artist, if you are attending IMAX London on June 4th, that's Saturday, from 3 to 7 p.m., Janice and I, along with Illusion Cosmetics, will be hosting a sip and share. We will be at the Hilton Hotel, the Hilton Olympia, from 3 to 7 p.m., hosting a sip and share where we will be discussing our brand, Illusion Cosmetics, sharing some of our story with bloggers and makeup artists, as well as allowing them to test a few of the, a few products from our line. So again, if you are interested in that, you can RSVP at hello@joclairepr.com. It's JOCLAREPR.com. Again, it's hello@joclairepr.com.
All right. Thank you very much. And I can hear you a lot better, by the way.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thank you for that. And again, If you have comments or questions for tonight's show, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Make sure you press the option to speak with the host. That way we know that you want to talk and not just sitting there listening. All right. Again, tonight's guest is Danessa Myricks. So welcome to the show, Danessa.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Oh, fantastic.
Thank you for joining us.
This is exciting.
We had a busy weekend this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend was great. I was at a show this weekend teaching and venting, and it was really great because I hadn't been in the show in a long time. So, but I really wanted to make the time to be with you guys.
Oh, we appreciate it.
So, Danessa, you've been on the show before, and I know a lot of our listeners already know you, but for those who don't know you, can you just briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Danessa Myricks. I'm based out of New York City, and I'm a makeup artist for 16 years now. And I do makeup on a regular basis, but I also do product development. So I develop cosmetics for not just my own brand, but for brands like Benefit Cosmetics and brands within the beauty supply store. And I guess my favorite thing is education. I've been teaching at makeup shows and writing books and creating DVDs for the past 10, 12 years, and had an opportunity to educate all over the world. So beauty is my passion, and I love this industry and had an opportunity to really take part in a lot of great spaces within the industry.
Now, with just that little introduction, there's so many things
that I want to talk about. Let me just ask this right now so I can get this out of the way, because I've been thinking about this all day. Are there any plans for any new DVD releases?
You know what's so funny? I was at the show this weekend, and the people I met at the show are people who've known me for years, and they're like, okay, where's the new DVD? So I'm 46 years old, so DVDs, yes, I love them. But this new generation,
I know.
It's Instagram, it's social media, it's you, you know. So I don't know. I think I need to be a little bit more creative and push myself to find a different way, like, to educate. Something online, so maybe some long-term online classes, just other ways that I can engage, you know, with people around the world and teach. But I think DVDs are a thing of the past. Can you even rent DVDs still?
No.
Oh, my God. Please don't say that.
No. I mean, it's something tangible, something you can touch, it's something you can keep, you can put it at your own leisure. You don't need internet access for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
oh my God, you can stick it in your computer, in your laptop.
I totally agree. What's with these young people?
Oh, no. That just hurt my feelings.
Mine too. I mean, I was literally on a path. Like every year, I would make at least two. But yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll leave it as a question mark. Now you've inspired me to rethink it.
But you know what? You made a great point though, because of the new, you know, this new generation. It's like for all those educators out there who relied on DVDs. Mm-hmm. It's like now they have to come up with creative ways to get people's attention. I always thought that, because, you know, for a long time, it was like, you know, people would always do classes. And then when people started doing DVDs, you know, it was a great way for those people who couldn't afford to, let's say, you know, if you live on the East Coast, to get a flight to the West Coast to take, you know, an 8-hour class with a makeup artist, sure. You know, well-known makeup artist, then that means flight, hotel, et cetera, and the class, you know, when you could just purchase a DVD maybe online or at a trade show, and there you go. You know.
No, I totally agree. But you know what? I have to say, like, I had a good run. And it's really inspiring to me when people come up to me and say, you know what, I learned makeup from your DVD. I never went to school. This is the only education I've had. Or I went to beauty school, and when it came time for the makeup, they put in your DVDs. Like, that makes me feel really good. So even
though
it's been around for a while, like, you know, the information is still relevant. So, you know, I'm, like, humbled by that fact alone, and I just appreciate whatever space, you know, my DVDs had in the careers of makeup artists around the globe.
Well, listen, but think about this. So if you're thinking about, you know, you're sitting around and you're wondering, like, you're looking back at your collection of educational materials. You have your books, you have your DVDs. And so now, what does this generation have? An online class that they can't access anymore? Or Periscope, and after it's gone, 24 hours later, it's gone? You know, what do they have? Like, what does their library consist of?
Totally agree. So that means that I have to take it one step further and do something better and something that's tangible in the long term. So it's just really going to push me to do more and create something better. So...
An online class with an option to buy the DVD.
I love it. She's not letting go of the DVD.
No, she's not letting it go.
I love it though. We're of the same school of thought.
Oh my goodness. So you talked a little bit, you mentioned in the introduction that you do product development for your own products, but also for other companies. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's actually through the DVDs, I would have to say, that I was introduced to product development. So the DVDs, they went all over the world, and a lot of brands paid attention to the DVDs or see me at shows with the DVDs, and they saw how people responded to them. So they would sit in my classes, and they saw, like, my methodology and my thought process about makeup, and then they had an opportunity to really see my work in a different kind of way, which inspired them to ask me to help them to create. Because one of the things that I would do is use makeup in ways that are different than what others have used makeup. So I really use makeup differently. So
right.
Like something that was used for... Something that was used on the eye, I'd use it someplace else. Or, like, I had to be super creative. So when they saw that, they were like, okay, well, maybe there's a way where she can help us to be creative in our approach to developing makeup. And that's really where it all started. There is a brand called Kiss Cosmetics. I'm sure many people are familiar with them. They're found in the Korean beauty supply stores primarily. And now they've branched out, and they're in the Walmarts and more of the not prestige stores, but more specialty cosmetic stores.
Right.
And they asked me to help them to develop cosmetics for women of color, and that really was my first entry into it. And that I knew, like, the back of my hand, because, hello, I'm a woman of color. And I've spent a lot of at that time, there really wasn't a lot of makeup available for us. So, like, that was a very exciting opportunity for me. And then from there, you know, I created the first compact that had multiple shades and to address makeup for women of color from a perspective of contouring and managing hyperpigmentation. And to this day, it's one of their top-selling compacts. So from there, they had me do lashes, and I created their lash line called IMV and developed their styles. And, you know, they created new brands. So there's like four or five different brands under the Kiss umbrella that I've worked in developing products for. And in my time working with Kiss, you know, this is a very transient business, but it's a very small world. So someone who was working at Kiss went to Benefit, and Benefit was looking to expand their color range. And they called me in as a consultant, and I went in for a couple of days, and we talked about a few things. And then before you knew it, I was there for 4 years working on developing products for them. Yeah.
Now, speaking of Kiss and IMV, I had an actress that I worked with a few weeks ago, and she, you know, I was about to put lashes on her, and she was like, oh, I can't use that glue. I was about to use some Duo. And she was like, oh, I can't use that glue. And at that time, of course, I was all out of your glue, which has become my absolute favorite. And she's like, I can't use latex. She was like, I'll go get my glue. And so she brings back this glue from Kiss I Envy. And I looked at it, and I said, wait a minute.
It looks like mine. It
looks like the Nessa glue. Right. So,
yeah.
So I used it. You said it's not wet?
It's not the same, yeah.
No, it's not. Because I ended up buying some, and I tried it, and I was like, no, it's not quite.
Yeah. So the thing about it, you know, yeah. So I think I was the first person to have the adhesive that way, even with a brush. But, you know, I'm a small brand, and I'm a niche brand, but I'm also connected to bigger brands who can do things faster, quicker, in a more expansive way. So then, you know, you blink, and then everyone has the same thing, but it's not the same.
Exactly. Because now Duo has one, and I'm
it's not the same. Well, thank you for understanding the difference. I appreciate that.
Yes, I understand the difference. I thought that was funny, though.
But they do great products. And the one thing about Kiss that I love, and it was really an exciting opportunity to be able to create products for brands that are on opposite ends of the spectrum. So you have a brand like Kiss, who is in the beauty supply store with a very reasonable price point. You know, you can shop for cosmetics for your whole face for under $5. And then all the way on the other side, you have a prestige brand under LVMH, you know, a billion-dollar company, and creating makeup on that level as well. But understanding that there's quality all across the board, and, you know, being able to work on both spectrums like that really helped me and look at makeup differently. And it really helps you to understand that, you know, you really don't have to spend lots of money for makeup for it to be quality makeup. It's more about understanding the ingredients, understanding, you know, the level of pigmentation, understanding how the products move on the skin, how they work with each other, you know, price point, you know, you learn a lot. I'll just say you learn a lot. And so there are amazing products at every price point is what I've learned from that experience. And Kiss does have a lot of high quality products, and they, you know, work with a lot of the same manufacturers that your prestige brands do. So, it is a great brand and very accessible. Yes.
Well, let me ask you, we were talking about products for women of color. You know, at one time you look at some of the big brands who really didn't have a range for women of color. And then you even look at some of the, you know, some of the smaller brands that were for women of color, but yet some things about it just wasn't right. What do you think now about the selections that are out there now for women of color? Do you think they're hitting it right on the head, or are some of them still missing the mark?
Well, you know what I used to have this thing in my mind, like, people don't care about us, you know, they don't make products for us, and I was of that mindset until I got on the other side of the wall. And when you realize that there are so many micro shades for women of color, it would take 100 shades in order for a line to be able to really address our needs in totality. I began to see and had a different perspective on why brands, you know, have their shade range the way they do. So, like, if you've never really attended to women of color, and then you say, you know what, we're missing the mark, and clearly, you know, we're not representing this global space that we're living in right now, and you go to expand, and let's just say it's like a combination of economics and need, and being able to marry the two together. So if you're a brand that's always looked for, you know, non-ethnic clientele, and now you're going to expand, and you're going to expand three more shades, well, a whole lot of people are going to be left out. But you can't expand
right.
20 more shades only for the deeper skin tone, because then it changes the dynamic of your brand, if that makes sense. So,
right,
even
it
on
makes
the flip
a lot
side,
of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you're a brand that caters to women of color and you're a smaller brand, or you're a brand that is an affordable brand, then, again, economics comes into play. Sure, you can make 50 shades, but out of those 50 shades, there's 10 that are going to be top sellers. And then it's a matter
mm-hmm.
of deciding which of the other 40 you're going to include, if that makes sense. So,
right.
It you know, I have a different perspective now, and I can see it from both sides. And what I will say now,
mm-hmm.
you can see there's so many brands now who are like, we're going to start 40 shades, you know, because they realize that you can't have a foundation rate of 9 or 12 or 16 shades and take care of everyone. But it's going
right.
to take a while.
Absolutely.
For, you know what I mean? It's just, I think the best scenario is a brand to say, you know what, I'm going to work on shades from medium to the deepest of deep, and then
right.
create a line on, you know, 25 shades from that space, and then that makes more sense. So 20 shades from that perspective.
Right.
But if you're going to say you're going to go from 0 to 40, that's a much
right.
harder job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's not
yeah.
realistic.
And I think I totally agree with you, Danessa, because I used to kind of say the same things until I realized that, okay, number one, some brands don't maybe include shades for women of color because that's not their target market. You know
exactly.
what I mean? And it's okay.
Exactly.
Just like, you know, we may create a line for women of color, and our target is women of color. It may not...
Right.
You may some other group may not find themselves in that brand, so it's pretty much the same thing, you know. But
exactly.
Once you're on the other side and you see that, then you come to a realization. Okay, like okay, I can pump the brakes on that part of the conversation. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because
and it's like you said,
that
okay.
goes absolutely
everyone
nowhere.
Has the right to decide what you know what the DNA of their brand is going to be, and
right.
And move forward. So, you know, we all have that same opportunity, you know, to do the same thing. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to talk about your brand because I think it was IMATS LA, I believe,
uh-huh.
at Rocky Cosetti's
yes.
booth. You had some products of yours. So I want to talk a little bit
yeah.
about all this new beautiful stuff you have going on here. Tell
okay,
us a little
awesome.
Bit about what your brand consists of.
Absolutely. At first, I do want to just shout out Rocky Cosetti and the Cosette Brush Line. He's been like a avid supporter of me and my brand, and I have just so much love for him and this level of integrity and his level of artistry and the knowledge that he has in the makeup industry and the affiliations. He's just pure magic. So if anybody doesn't know who Rocky Cosetti is, like, he's definitely one to follow for sure. But, yes, I wasn't doing IMATS at that time, and he took my products because he's like, no, the world needs to see these products. And I'm so grateful that he did. After working on the product with Benefit, I came back to New York, and I was like, you know, I really need a brand refresh because so much has changed. And the whole dynamic behind my brand from the very beginning kind of was in line with who I am as an artist, and I just take a very artisanal approach to my artistry. It's like a lot of mixing and matching, putting these two things together to create something else, and using one product.
That's what I really
ways.
And not to cut you off, but that's what I really loved about watching your videos, because
oh,
you would
thank
do
you.
A lot of mixing and matching and you know non-traditional
thank
stuff.
Thank you. That really came from me being super super poor when I started, and I was like, I can make this thing do a lot of things, and I was so happy I started off that way because it really helped me to look at makeup differently. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
so the products that I create really just they follow that line of thinking. They're artisanally based, so they are multi-purpose, and it really gives an artist an opportunity to be creative. And if it's a consumer who's purchasing, they can use it as is and just get like a high impact color, a high level of pigmentation. You'll notice when you use my products, they're very finely milled and they're not mixed with anything. I use like raw micronized pigments and pearls and try not to put any fillers so that you really get the full intensity of the color, the coverage, and you really get a lot of value in the usage as well. So I have two new lines, well, actually three. One is the Metals Collection, and the Metals is just that. It's a line of artisanal loose pigments, metallic pigments, and holographic pigments. And then we have the Enlight Collection, which is a line of highlighters that are very refined. They melt right into your skin. You don't see them sitting on the skin at all. I really wanted to create a very sophisticated approach to highlighting. I'm 46 years old. I can't have, like, extreme pearls and shimmers and glitters. You know, it really needs to be subtle and sophisticated. But then at the same time, as an artist, you want to be able to amp it up and you want to be able to have that dynamic highlight when you want it.
Right.
And that's really how I created the Enlight powders. They're designed from the fairest skin tone to the very darkest skin tone. So somebody blue-black, there are colors there that can highlight. You can even contour using the highlighters because they're designed to be layered with each other, combined with each other, so that they can create a really dynamic shape to the face. You know, it's all about just dimensional approach to makeup. And I know that's how I work in my artistry. So in every aspect of the artistry, eyes, lips, sculpting, whether it's the highlighting, it has to have dimension. So that mindset was, that was the thought process in creating the shades. So there's 11 shades now of the Enlight powders. And they're great to be used on the skin, on the eyes, on the lips, on the body. So I use them everywhere.
Nice. I'm looking at the pigments. And I love all of these shades of purple.
Thank you. So that purple, like, was inspired by Prince. Like, I cried for a good week, and I was like, "This will be my. This is how I celebrate." So I created those shades like within a week, just to have some shades that represent Prince.
Oh,
in the purple
wow!
Ring, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. So Oh, because the lashes are fabulous, and I meant to tell you about that a while ago.
Thank you.
Them for the show. They're very,
thank
very
you
nice.
So much.
Of the three
thank
products,
you.
What do you? Which one do you think is your favorite?
Oh, man, there is no favorite. They're all my children. Like, how can you pick from your children? You can't. You just love them all in different ways. I love them all in different ways.
And what kind of responses are you getting?
Oh, my goodness. Well, can I tell you, it's been extraordinary. I did IMATS and I did the makeup show, and I sold out at both shows, which was, like, the most incredible feeling. And what really is also overwhelming is that's the love on social media. Like, every time I pick up my phone to look at Instagram, is somebody tagging me on a look. I just got tagged from Lottie Lockstar. She's I'm sure everyone knows her. She just did someone for the Billboard Awards and used the highlighter. Like, I'm, like, dying at how beautiful it looks. There's a young 16-year-old. What is his name? I think it's Charles something Charles. He's on Instagram. Like, he's been on Instagram for a few months and has like hundreds of thousands of followers. But he took one of the highlighters and did this beautiful, beautiful picture that I reposted on my page recently. And I think he got like 60,000 likes on it. And the highlight of it was one of my products. And so that really makes me feel so good that people are really responding to it and using it in creative ways and just expressing their artistry through my products. Like, I really can't even describe to you how amazing that feels. Like, when you create something and then people use it in just as you intended it to be used, and then in magical ways that you never even thought of. Like, it's really been overwhelming, and it's very humbling, and it just inspires me to do more and create more. It's really been phenomenal.
What kind of changes have you noticed? Because when you just mentioned the young kid on Instagram, and it just made me start thinking about what we were saying earlier about how the young kids these days, you know, with Instagram and, you know, YouTube and learning differently. What are some of the changes that you've noticed about the industry since you started doing makeup 15 years ago? What are some of the things that you noticed? And have any of those...
Yeah.
Have any
That's
of those changes
question.
Affected your career?
Well, sure. I think everyone has felt the shift that social media has created. And, you know, for me, though, I don't look at it – I can't say I look at it positively or negatively. It's just a different – it's just a different time, a change. And when I look at these young kids on Instagram, I see myself, to be quite honest. I was somebody – I didn't go to school. I was self-taught. I went, picked up makeup, and used it the way I thought it was supposed to be used, and I learned as I went along. And so now I just think that we're just seeing that now. We all get to watch thousands of people's journey in makeup, you know, but it's no different than what we experienced when we were coming up in makeup. You know, I think one of the major differences are that I think that the older generation really sought after education and really prided themselves with learning new things, learning like the truth and the reality, the going deeper in their study as it relates to makeup. Mm-hmm. What's different now is things are happening so fast and it's so instant, you know, it's very surface, you know, and it's very trend focused, and there's not a lot of focus on the history, but I think it will change. I think over time it would change. But what I also see is a lot more inspiration. I see a lot more artistic expression. People be feeling freer in how they use makeup, and I think
exactly.
You get a chance to see like people from all over the world and how they use makeup. I think it can do nothing but help. It can do nothing but open up opportunities for everyone. So, mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure there's arguments on both sides. And, yes, it's like sometimes you cringe a little bit when somebody's saying you need peanut butter to contour your face and, you know, you're going to get that. But I think you get a lot of – there's a lot of joy and there's a lot of good on the other side too. So right now I think the blessing is that people who are – you know, it was a struggle, you know, for people early on. Like I started – makeup 16 years ago, it wasn't, the access was not there. Like people in your area saw your work, or if you're lucky enough to get
right.
printed in a magazine, they saw your work. And it was like a real push. It was like one in many that were able to move forward because just the visibility was very different. So I think now it creates so much more opportunity for new artists, and I could do nothing but celebrate that. And I think it just it also creates an opportunity for people who have, you know, been in the industry for a long time to expand what they've been able to do, maybe do it globally now because it extends their
Absolutely.
Reach.
Absolutely.
You know, so
Absolutely.
I just think it's good all around. We just have to learn. We just have to relearn how we market ourselves, how we brand ourselves, you know, how we represent ourselves, how we reach out and connect. But it's not bad. It's just different. And we just have to learn how to work within the change.
Absolutely. And that brings me to a question that I had for you was, how do you reinvent yourself? Because that's the thing. You have a lot of older artists who are stuck right now. Like
sure.
they can't keep up with the social media. You know what I mean? Like they may get on social media, but it's nothing to really promote themselves. They're stuck.
Yeah.
Like how do they reinvent themselves?
And that's a really big question. And I think, you know, what I really think it is that, you know, there were so many artists who have been established and they've been working for a while and they're in their groove, right? So
right.
they're, you know, they're out of the hustle kind of
yes.
sort of, you know, they're in a
mm-hmm.
space. So when you're in the hustle, you're touching and feeling everything. You're exploring everything. But when you get in your groove, you're just in your groove. And so I think sometimes you just kind of shake it up and do something different, which is why I started to go to different shows, which is why I revamped. I look at it, I'm like, you know what? I always use the same products over and over and over again. I don't change a lot. You know, I got into a thought process. I know what works. But now I force myself to explore, to touch and feel again. And it helps me to look at makeup in a different way. And I think also when you're looking at social media, it can really be so distracting and disheartening. And it takes away from your creativity sometimes too.
Yes.
It puts you in a rut because you're like, should I do what I dreamt about last night, or should I do what everybody's liking on Instagram? And it kind of makes you stuck, right? But I think
Absolutely.
The only way to get unstuck is to just get back to yourself, like get back to that makeup artist that just got her first, you know, set of brushes and just, you know, create from within. I mean, I know it sounds very esoteric, but it's the only thing I can, the only way I can really express it. Like, we find inspiration anywhere. Like, you know, sometimes I do a lot of traveling and I see a piece of fabric and I like take a picture of it and be like, you know, how can I use this in my artistic expression? You have to find your inspiration everywhere. And sometimes the inspiration will come just by stopping. See, a lot of artists have been working for a while. They're so established. We're just going, 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 going. We never take a moment to just stop, breathe, take a break, go on a trip, take a workshop, take a new class, take a painting class, something just to reignite our juices again. So, I can totally relate to being stuck because I've been stuck often. But what I do, I literally, like, go in a room and I just come up with something very random, like a time in history or a picture I saw or a color I saw in my closet. And I'm just like, let me just create. Let me just do something. I force myself to do it. It's actually the reason why I got into photography, because I wanted to be able to instantly. I wanted to be able to just grab somebody. Hey, my neighbor, come over. Let's play, take a picture of it, see how certain colors photograph, see how things work together. And that really got my juices flowing, which really led to the creation of the Enlight. You know, so I think, you know, we just have to take responsibility for our own stuck-to-itiveness, word would be. And just take a breath to get unstuck. And really, you know, we are creative beings. We're in a creative industry. It's all there. We just have to take a moment, stop, take a breath, and find it and explore.
You know, and I think you said something important. I think, you know, to get to that point of being unstuck, I think you do. You do what you dreamt about last night, like you said. I think that's the answer. You know what I mean? You can't really worry about what somebody else is doing on social media or how many likes they're getting. You know, do what makes you happy. Do what, you know, what lights your fire. Do that. Do what you did, you know, 30, 40 years ago when you first started. That, you know, what did you do then that you loved so much that created that passion in you? Do that. And then put a different spin on it.
And do everything that somebody told you that you're not supposed to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the first thing you do.
Right.
You know, it's like if you can't keep up with what artists are doing in social media, you know, do social media your way. Like, you don't have to, I don't know, and social media, it really is another job in addition to what you're already doing. And most people say you've got to do it. Well, in my opinion, you don't have to do it. You know what I mean? You don't have to do it the way others are. Yeah, some people are getting jobs from social media. I get it. Yes, they are. But, like, okay, for instance, for us, we're, you know, our main thing is film and television. Trust and believe, I'm not getting a job off of social media for film and TV. It's just not how it works. So I'm not going to feel, you know, pressed to keep up with social media because I think I'm going to get a film and TV job there. No.
Sure.
There's some things that have changed in, you know, in the film and television industry, but that's one thing that hasn't changed yet. You know, so.
Right. And I really don't think it will, because it's such a technical skill.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, so this is something that my sister and I talk about all the time because, like, for the two of us, when we started in the industry, you know, we touched a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of artists who do film and TV who that's all they do. That's all they know.
Sure.
But how do you teach people, which I think you would be great at doing, because I think you do that anyway with your DVDs, which there'll probably be another one coming soon just with this topic. How do you teach people to be creative or to think creatively? Like, how do you teach people to step outside of what they're doing now to do something else in makeup?
It's an interesting question, but you know what? You have to really follow. I found that, you know, even if I use myself as example, I'm most successful when I'm doing something that I'm moved to do that makes me feel mm-hmm. something. So even though, sure, I can do something and I can do video work, I can work to be on set for a film, I can do celebrity work. Honestly, none of those things make me want to jump out of bed the next day. I know my personality. I want to be able to do something different all the time. I'm like very like ADD. I'm constantly wanting to shift and move and try something. I don't like the routine of every day. So knowing that, I created a makeup business for myself that feeds me. So, but there are other people who are like, you know what, bump that. I need steady. I love doing makeup, but I like doing natural makeup, and I like steady, and I like knowing when I start work and when I stop and whatever. And so they're very thrilled and happy and inspired and feel really good about going to work every day on a TV show at 3 a.m., and that works for them. So I do see that there definitely is value in being flexible and doing different things. But I can also see the flip side where, you know, everyone's different and they just moved in different ways in this industry. But the beauty of this industry is that there are so many different spaces and nooks and crannies that you can get into and create a great career for yourself. But what I will say that really is to your point is that a very easy way to get unstuck is to do something that you don't normally do. So, like, for me, like, if you gave me a choice every day, I'm going to do something like very wild and creative, bright colors and lashes that extend down to the back of your neck. Like, that's what I'm going to want to do. But the challenge for me is to, like, take that creativity and make it real. Like, take a regular face, a clean makeup job, and make it lively and dimensional and make you want to look twice with all neutral colors. So I'll challenge myself in that way. You can use no colors, or you can use a browns and taupes and neutrals like that. And I'll challenge myself in that way. And it forces me to learn new ways to use products. I'll force myself to say, you cannot use more than 3 drops of makeup. What are you going to do? Do this face. Take away, I love working with creams. I'll force myself to use liquids. And that's how I develop my skill set, learn new things, and I create inspiration outside of having to totally change the scope of what I do. So I think there are ways that you can, like, shake yourself up if you want to. Even if you feel comfortable and happy just staying in one lane in makeup artistry.
You bring up a lot of different points, but that's also something about film makeup artists, because a lot of people think that it is just natural makeup, but not all the time, because, you know, film and TV, it's all about creating characters, and there are tons of different situations where, you know, you're creating characters, but guess what? They're not monsters. So you're not doing prosthetics and all that kind of thing. It's, you know what I'm saying? But you are using color and things like that. Like, if you think about things like The Hunger Games and Alice in Wonderland, things like that, there are opportunities where you are doing something different, but then there are some artists who, it almost drives me crazy, like they can't seem to move past doing that whole just natural, pretty, clean makeup.
So that's a different conversation, and I agree. You definitely need to have a range in that regard, for sure.
Yeah, totally.
All right, I have a caller. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just talking about the DVDs. I just think your DVDs will help people in that situation.
Okay. You know what? Tomorrow, I had slated my day tomorrow for my take a look at your business day, regroup, and, like, set some new, like, milestones. Okay, I'm going to really add the DVD to my conversation.
Add that to the list, yes.
Because you really are, like, really making me rethink the DVD.
Add it to your conversation. I mean, seriously, though, when I want to feel inspired, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, but when I want to feel inspired or I want to do something different or think about a makeup look in a different way, I'll pull out one of your DVDs, honestly.
Wow, that's so humbling. Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Another great makeup artist has something she wants to say. Let's see here. Hello.
Hello.
That can't be anybody but Nzinga.
Yes.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Nzinga.
Hi. How are you?
You. Wow. You're so funny.
Yay, I'm clapping because I'm so excited right now.
Oh, my goodness.
We've never met, but I had to call in because I got the email. First of all, let me say hi, everyone. Hello, hello. You know, just
hey, hey.
You know, West Indian rude. Everyone, hi. I'm just so excited because I got the email to remind me this evening. You know, and I'm home. Having a glass of white wine, trying to calm down.
Love it. Love it.
Moscato. And I got the email, and it said you were going to be on. And I was like, holy cannot! What kind of timing is this? I have to speak to this lady. Let me get on the phone now. You know something, and I'm so glad we're talking because I texted Janice and I said, you know, Janice and I have the same kind of mindset. And in my career, I've approached it the same exact way. I have to do something different. I have to,
yeah.
You know, I get bored.
Yeah.
I get artistically bored.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's most times when you're working with private clients and personalities.
Yeah.
Personalities are very different from creating characters that you would do in film, television, or maybe even print work.
Sure.
You know, but the challenge is that you challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you for saying that. I thank you, and I honor you for that.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just pleased to talk to you. I mean, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
I never get to talk to other makeup artists, so when I do, I'm so excited. You know what I'm talking about, because it's kind of like an isolating world, you know?
No, I totally agree. You know, I said that today on the panel that I was speaking on. I was like, you know, it was a panel of all these different creatives. And I'm like, I never see any of these people outside of a show or somebody bringing all of us together in one space. I was like, but we all work independently and have great careers. We never cross paths at all. And there's never any conversation. The only thing we share is a mutual respect. So I totally get it. I'm mainly by myself. I'm mainly by myself, working with a client, working as a consultant, or in my own head and my own artistry. So I totally get what you're saying. But it is really refreshing when you do have an opportunity to speak with like-minded artists. It just makes you feel like you're not on the planet by yourself.
Right. And it can feel like that. And sometimes,
you
know, to me, that can be my muse. You know, my muses come from different places.
Sure.
You know, and for me, you know, I've never been one of these people that wanted to be
like someone else, mm-hmm. or the black female version of.
Right. Right.
You know, like, I never wanted to be that, and I never saw anyone as my competition. You know, a lot of us get into that space where we become, and this is to me where you lose the real beauty of mm-hmm. the artistry is when you're not looking at the next person.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, when you work in film and television, there are times that you have to recreate what someone has done. You have to recreate a look that was, say, done in a certain era and a certain period. We call them period pieces.
Right.
You know, you are recreating someone else's look when you're doing a period piece. So you do
right.
have to kind of do your homework on that level. But I've never been one of those people like, what is she doing?
Right.
You know, why are they doing it that way? You know, it's a form of expression. It's like the music that we listen to.
Sure.
You know, musicians have their muses the same way. You know, we're all artists.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, you know, what inspires you? I'm inspired by other makeup artists who push the envelope.
So am I.
You
so
know what
I
mean?
So
either they're pushing the envelope in their artwork, or they're pushing the envelope industry itself.
Right, right.
Or they're pushing other artists to push the envelope. Those
right.
are the people that I'm, you know, like, wow, yes. Hats off.
We're definitely
you're one
on
of
the
them.
Page there. Oh my God, don't make me cry.
Don't do that. You're not wearing waterproof today.
And Zynga,
yes.
don't you agree? I don't know if you have any I'm not trying to continue to push the issue, but I'm really serious about this. I don't know if you have any of Danessa's DVDs.
I don't actually. I know.
But,
I'm sorry. You know.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay because she still has some for sale, and
okay.
we're trying to push her to, you know, to do another one. I mean, but don't you think it's a useful tool? And I know everybody's online now, and nobody's buying DVDs. But I mean, really, I think every makeup artist should have a collection of something, some type of resource material, some type of resource manual, or something.
I agree. You know, I've lost a lot of my resource material. You know, I had my stuff in storage and all my stuff was stolen, including all of my major awards. I'm not even going to go into it.
Oh, my goodness.
Very disturbing, and I wish somebody would be honest and just give me my stuff back. But I had a lot of reference material by other artists that who were my colleagues, my contemporaries, and I just enjoyed their work. And I think you do have to have reference all the time. You know, even when you have down moments, those are the moments that you go back and you look at that material and you go back to, and I always say this, I have to go back to the reason why I started in this industry.
Right.
Because it can get convoluted when you're working so much and you're working on a higher level and you're working with high-end clients, and you have to ask yourself, why did you come in this in the first place? It's almost like you have to be a virgin again.
I totally agree.
And that beginning place keeps you pure and curious and open to learning. Because even though I have close to 30 years of experience in this industry, you know, like does that stop? Does my curiosity stop because I've already gotten it? You know? No.
Right.
You're always learning. If you stop learning, then guess what? You're pushing
you stop
up
growing.
Uh-huh. You're done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I would love to see your video. Because I love your game.
And I would like a private anthology of all of your work and just for you to walk me through your entire career and all the amazing things that you've done in
well,
30
know,
years.
I'm in the process of writing it all down.
Look at there we go. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, what do you say? You know, like, it's like putting it, I think resumes are the stupidest thing ever in the world because how do you know, put your life down on two sheets of paper.
Right.
It's
oh
virtually
goodness.
Impossible.
Yes.
And I'm coming from a completely different place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I started in music and
mm-hmm.
20 years of my life has been in the music industry.
Wow.
So you know, when I came in the film and television industry, everybody was shaking in their boots because I come from a different world and I'm not scared to paint.
Right.
You know, like if you ask me to be, I'm going to be.
Right.
If you ask me for a monster, I can give you a monster.
I love it.
If you want me to do what we call pedestrian, I can do that too. That can be really, really scary to those of us who are in the industry who are intimidated. And
mm-hmm.
and the intimidation comes from a place where you're not growing. That's
right.
Yeah. You're intimidated.
Absolutely.
Because you're not growing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I got to give myself applause for that one.
Well, I would be the first person. I'm going to be the first person online for that book or that video or whatever that is, the movie, I'm there.
You know, it's so scary because, you know, when you're such a private person, you know, I've lived my life privately, even though I've, you know, the amazing aspect of what all of us do is, you know, one minute you're on the red carpet, you know, doing
mm-hmm.
whomever, or you're on a film project or a TV project or, you know,
mm-hmm.
a print project, and you're doing this amazing thing, and then the next, you know, within the next 3 hours or so, you'll be back in the hood drinking your juice.
Right.
You know, like, we have that option, which is so amazing, and I realized that one night because, you know, I was at a party for Quincy Jones one night, who I call my uncle, my godfather. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm in a room full of Grammy-winning artists. Somebody would die to be here. And I'm just floating around like, hey, how you doing? What's up? Hey!
Right. Right.
What just happened? Sometimes I pinch myself, and I always refer to myself in the third person because one of my friends told me that. You refer yourself in the third person. Yeah, I do because I marvel at my life because I can't believe it sometimes.
Yeah, it's been a blessing.
What
for
a
sure.
great privilege to have come this way just because I could paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I believed in myself.
Absolutely.
And the other artists who were in the room, they did the same thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if your DVDs and the classes that you do and, you know, your product line, you know, just keep going.
Thank you so much.
Do that thing. What is that? That black girl magic. That was my impression of Jimi Hendrix.
I love it.
Wait, speaking of this, you know, like, I'm in such a funk right now because Prince, I can't believe Prince is not on this planet.
Yeah.
He was the reason why I moved the way I moved in the industry.
Wow.
So I cannot fathom him not being here. This does not register to me.
Agreed.
Danessa, you talked about Prince a little earlier, and you created some colors because of him. Who out there are you inspired by?
You created some colors?
Yeah, I created a collection of colors. It's the Prince collection, just in his memory.
It.
Yeah.
I have to get it.
Amazing.
Can we talk after this?
You are so funny. Absolutely. Sure. Right after I eat that steak that's waiting for me in the restaurant.
Yes.
Danessa, I wanted to ask you, Danessa, who are you most inspired by that's not a makeup artist, someone that's not in the beauty industry?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's...
That's a really good one.
Yeah, so like you see, I had no words. I gave you you know, because there's so many people. You know, for me, I'm always inspired by people who are unafraid. So that can happen on many levels. Like, I could be watching the old channel and hearing stories about people who are unafraid and the things they were able to accomplish, and they inspire me. So, and people who aren't afraid to express who they are, whatever that may mean. So in and outside of artistry, that's what inspires me. And I think for me, early on in through my childhood struggled with that, always, you know, with fear. Fear really was like an overbearing thing in my life. And a fear of expressing my creativity, a fear of trying something, a fear, you know, my whole life was really like consumed with fear of being who I am. And now I'm living in in the opposite way. You know, I am so incredibly determined to do everything that I'm afraid of, so that I can realize that it's not real. And I'm inspired by people who are unafraid. So whether it's musically, and on any level, in and outside of artistry, I think that's what inspires me the most.
Nice. And what do you have any plans on expanding the line? What's next for the line?
Oh, absolutely. So I'll be launching, again, another artisanally based collection of color that is a multi-purpose color. So it's fluid color and cream color that's multi-purpose. And I'll be launching that in the next couple of months. So you'll see very, very soon. I'll be sure to send you guys some.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice, nice. I can't wait for that.
Yay, me neither.
I'm pretty sure you're always thinking about something new when you're actually working with the products that you have. You're probably always thinking, I'm sure.
Exactly. I'm sure. I mean, and I think that's why it's so important for us as artists to always be working, doing something in our artistry every day, because that's really where the creation comes from. So as I'm working, every time I say I wish, I write that down because that means it needs to be created. Yeah.
I think if an artist were to listen back at this show, I think all of the answers are here. I think you hit, you know, a lot of things on the head. It's like if we're always constantly working within our artistry, I mean, I think we'll never get to the – I'm not going to say never, but I think it's going to be hard to get to the point of being stuck because you're always doing something. You're always thinking.
Right,
you're always creating.
Always,
always.
For sure. ABC, always be creating.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, I know you've had a long day.
Yes,
so
and this was a beautiful end to the day. Honestly, it was a great call, and I really, really, really had a great time speaking to you guys for this past hour, seriously. It's very refreshing. Just what I needed. That in my state.
Oh. Well, I'm gonna let you get back. I'm gonna let you get to your state. Definitely
really
don't want to hold you up on that.
And I really appreciate the invitation. This was really just a real great time, and I hope it was helpful in some way for somebody.
Yeah, for sure. I know it is. Well, continued success with
all
that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
And we're excited about your line, so looking forward to seeing that. And just keep doing great things and keep inspiring others.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sure. I'm sure when you figure out what you're going to do, please let my sister be the first one you tell, okay?
Absolutely, without question.
She is not going to let that die down. Oh, my God.
I appreciate her so much for inspiring me to think bigger in this direction.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I'm all over
it. Some things can't die. They just can't.
Exactly.
That DVD, DVD is one of them.
Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
Just do me a quick favor and shout out where you are on social media so people out there can follow you.
Sure. And thank you for asking. On Instagram, it's Danessa, D-A-N-E-S-S-A _ Myricks, M-Y-R-I-C-K-S. And the website for the collection is DanessaMyricksBeauty.com. So all of the products can be found there. On Facebook, it's Danessa Myricks, and on Twitter, Danessa Myricks as well.
Now, I know your lashes, you had a separate site. Are they now on Danessa Myricks Beauty?
Yes, they are.
Okay,
they are.
Great. Okay.
I'm doing a better job of branding. So,
all right. No problem.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Again, thank you, Danessa, for joining us. I really enjoyed the conversation. It's very inspiring. And hopefully we can do it a couple of, months down the road again.
I would love to. Thank you so much, guys. You guys are really incredible. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
You do the
and
same.
Enjoy your stay.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right, bye-bye. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed tonight's conversation. I know we did. You can help me out here. You can follow us on Facebook, on Beauty Talk Online. We are on Twitter as Beauty_Talk, and then we are on Instagram. As Beauty_Talk_Media. All right,
yes.
So you can leave us your comments on our Facebook page about tonight's show. And if you have suggestions for guests or topics that you want to discuss, please let us know. We will be glad to entertain them all. And again, we will be back next Sunday night. And I know Monday is a holiday, but we will still have a show on Sunday. Okay. So,
and then the following Sunday after that, So next Sunday we will have a show, but the Sunday after that will be June 5th, I believe, and we will not have a show that Sunday night. June 5th, we will not have a show. You can come back and check out all of the old shows and catch them out on the replay, and that'll be that.
Yep, we'll be in London, so we won't do a show, but we'll come back the following week with another guest. All right. So again, we appreciate your support, your continued support. Thank you for those who listened online. Thank you for Nzinga who called in and shared her comments. Very inspiring as well. And we'll do this again next Sunday night. All right. So thank you guys. Have a wonderful night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.